Hello, and welcome to another episode of Non-Productive. I am your host, Al, and I am joined in the studio by...
Pope.
And Nate.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. We are talking about our final round of MV Pride. Thank you all for voting. As some of you know, and those of you that just came in, we'll explain it to you. MV Pride has been our round-robin competition for characters that we feel embody pride and who our favorite characters that embody pride are. Our first round was the pre-2000s, where a bunch of characters that you nominated went in a round-robin competition. We have the finalists here. Next week, we did the post-2000s characters, and we have those finalists for you as well, where they went through another round-robin tournament.
Yeah, because we've been building up that anticipation. I can't wait to find out who won.
It's so hype. I'm really excited to find out who our winners are. I can't wait to talk about this.
So let's talk about the top two characters that won in the pre-2000s bracket. We have both Deadpool and Tom Collins. Tom Collins, if you don't know, is from Rent. And Deadpool, if you don't know, is from Marvel Comics. He's the Merc with the Mouth.
And Wade Wilson.
And he's also Wade Wilson.
He has a couple of names, actually.
There you go. Exactly.
Wade's his real one.
There you go. Tom Collins has only ever gone by Tom Collins, though.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Have you ever seen him and Deadpool in the same room?
No, you know what? No, I haven't.
Dun, dun, dun!
Tom Collins, I think, absolutely represents a very powerful character that came in the pre-2000s in a show that meant a lot to a lot of people, because this was one of the first big hits with LGBT plus representation in it. Collins, of course, being a gay man who lost his lover, unfortunately, throughout the musical, and has to deal with not only that, but also having HIV and how he was kicked out of college, essentially, for trying to talk about HIV at all. Like, trying to talk about, like, hey, this is happening, this is a thing, we should deal with it. And them just being like, well, you know, we think you should shut up and go. Bye. And him just dealing with all of that and trying to recover and do more with his life and accomplish things. And yeah, he's a character that deals with tragedy throughout the entirety of the musical and both the film. I think he's just a very strong candidate for representation.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a very strong character amongst a bunch of very strong characters, you know, in the spectrum, really. And great that people were able to pull him out of memory to really, you know, push him to the forefront of this round.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's hard to say, because I know at this point in time in our life of 2017, we're so used to there being like some semblance of representation for these characters. And Collins came at a time where that wasn't easy and showed it wasn't easy to be that person on top of that. And being a character of color as well as that. So like there was so much batting against this person, and just the way the character gets to be portrayed by the many actors that have embodied the character have always been very, like, kind of in their, I guess, the DNA of the character, have been about overcoming things and have been about representing themselves and being themselves and fighting against a system that constantly hates them. So yeah, I don't know. I think that this is a fantastic nomination. When we get the other nominee, one in the top two is Deadpool.
Big fan of Deadpool, personally. I love this character and I've always liked Deadpool. He's a hard character to talk about, though, because historically a lot of Deadpool is unambiguously a man-loving man character, an MLM character. Unambiguously, if you flip through some old Deadpool comics, you'll see over and over talks about the crushes he has on characters like Cable or Spider-Man, and he talks about he finds Thor attractive and other characters hot. He over and over again he reiterates how much he has no real difference between whether he's attracted to men or women or anyone else. He, you know, man bones a skeleton. Like, come on, you know, what do you got for me? Deadpool doesn't really care. Deadpool likes people. The problem is, a lot of the time, Deadpool has been a kind of a homophobic joke at times. It's hard to overlook that sometimes, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. He's still MLM. Like, even if those things were jokes, they inspired writers today who do actually care about a real character and not a joke, writing good, real representation, you know? And I'm hope one day we actually see Deadpool in a real relationship with a man. Anything, really. I really genuinely believe that one day we will get to see that. We haven't yet, but he's still MLM. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, he's talked about it enough.
I feel like that's an important lesson to really take away, is that even if a character comes from a place where it's a joke, you can't take that away from that character anymore.
Yep.
Now that it's been brought there, now that he mm-hmm. is shown interest in men, now that he has been come out by its creators pansexual, it comes in like that's never going away. the character is that now.
It is true. You might have written this in a way to sort of take a jab at people like us, but you made him like us. He is ours now, and I will fight for him.
Exactly.
He's mine. I'm taking him up and I'm running.
Yep.
That's my boy.
So now when we have more talented writers, like you pointed out, go and address the character, then it comes down to just basically like, well, they've written him better. They've included that in a more, like, not, you know, jokey way, but, like, it's part of who he is. And he's a fascinating character besides that. And he's a strong and popular one.
He's a really well-written character, and there's so much interesting stuff to Deadpool beyond the sort of, like, haha, chimichangas that people like to see in pop culture a lot.
Yeah.
That character has so much nuance, and there's been so much detail given to him these days into giving him a real story and making him more than just a joke character, and making him a fun character that tells jokes but is also a real character. And shout out to the future to give us a boyfriend for Deadpool eventually.
Yeah. Or, you know, Lady Death could just decide to become
Lady Death could be a gender fluid character at any point. I would love that. Give me non-binary or gender fluid like Death. I'm into that.
There we go.
Yeah, we're also blazing past one point in that Deadpool is very, very multi-platform.
Oh, yeah, truly.
You know, besides, you know, obviously the movie that, you know, that brought him to, mm-hmm. you know, popularity. You know, obviously he debuted in comics. I love the PS3 game. I don't know if you ever played it.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah,
great. It's just, you know, he's, you know, I would say he's hit more platforms even than he might be a stronger pre-2000 contender just because Tom Collins was in a play and a movie.
Yeah.
And
Deadpool's sort of been around for a while.
And been everywhere.
Yeah. Deadpool's been in a movie. He's been in comic books. He's been in a video game. Mm-hmm. He's been in a radio drama. I mean, come on. Like,
he even talks directly to me.
And even in the comics, there's multiple, like, AUs and, you know, there's multiple comics that take place in different universes. So even those are, like, different platforms.
I mean, did Tom Collins go out and kill the Marvel Universe? I don't think so.
I do hope to see that fan fiction, though. Please send it to me.
No, it's not a fan fiction. It's a real thing that happened.
Oh, you're
that's
right.
A comic book. Deadpool kills
no,
the Marvel
I meant
Universe.
Tom Collins.
Oh. Oh, yeah. If you want to go and like write us a thing about Tom Collins.
Please send it in.
Yeah, go.
I will personally publish it.
All right. So let's move on to the post-2000s bracket.
Awesome.
All right. So the top two here are Garnet from Steven Universe and Korra from The Legend of Korra.
Oh, my God. I love Garnet so much. Like, I've been watching Steven Universe for a while, and I actually started watching because of her. Like, when Steven Universe initially came out, and I do love cartoons, I think it was about maybe episode 6 or 7. No, it was earlier than that, probably 3 or 4 by the time I was like, oh, this is a new cartoon. The art's really nice. I watched the first episode or two and I was like, yeah, this is a nice show. Like, I like it, but I don't really feel compelled to keep up with it. And I kept saying, oh, you know, I got to catch up with Steven Universe. It is a show that I want to watch. It was on my to-do list of a behind other things, sort of like low priority for a really long time. And then I think it's episode 40-something is the one where it's Jailbreak, which is such a good episode. It's in this big arc where, I mean, I could spoiler tag this, but like we're on episode like 300 now. Like, this has nothing to do with what's currently up. Then most people have seen this, but Steven, there's some alien stuff and they're all on this ship and they're going to crash. And it's revealed that Garnet is actually made of two smaller lesbians that have fused together into a much larger lesbian. They go fight with Jasper, who's the enemy alien. And Jasper embodies, like, at the time, especially like a lot of sort of implied homophobia where she's like, you know, you guys can't be together. And Garnet fights them and just beats the crap out of her. While singing this awesome song about how, you know, she's made of love and basically just defeats homophobia with her fists, which was freaking awesome to watch. And then later on in the show, you get all of these great Garnet moments. And a lot of the earlier episodes in the show didn't have a lot of great Garnet moments. She was mysterious. And then the Jailbreak was the big reveal that she was a person and she had feelings and who she was. And then after that, we start getting into Garnet more and more. And we see a problem she has with Pearl when they fuse. And she has these opinions she has and how she was one of Rose's closest friends. And we get into this stuff about how she, Ruby and Sapphire originally met back during the war when they were still fighting for the gems and Homeworld. And the first time they fuse, that episode is just so beautiful. There's this scene where they're like dancing in the moonlight together, and then they, oh my god, like I was in tears. Like, it was just amazing. Garnet as a character embodies just love itself and passion for someone that you care about, and love for yourself in being that you are good and wonderful and a person that deserves to be happy. That to make this character, this lesbian girl, just, she loves who she is. She loves She loves herself and they love each other and they embody that pure, unconditional love, like, is just so awesome and great. And I love these characters and I'm so glad that I started watching.
I agree. I really like Garnet as a character. I think I went over this last week about why I at first didn't like her, but then eventually did sort of like her. I feel like, again, very comparable to Tom Collins in a way, as being a character of color that sort of stands up against a society that didn't approve of them and fights against it as much as they can for for being able to be what they are. And again, I feel like that sort of is a representation we need more, not more so than just being the character. We have to see a character fight off and say, no, I am this, I should be allowed to be this, and I'm going to push forward to become.
And also, not just to see, I think it's really important to see characters fight against against homophobia and things, but it's also important to see a character just loving themselves and loving each other and being happy. It's important to see characters that are gay or trans as happy, and happy as they are and able to live happy lives. I want to see characters combat oppression, but I also want to see them genuinely happy.
As opposed to being like a Linkin Park CD.
Yeah. Sometimes it can become really exhausting to see characters like, oh, woe is me, I'm gay and everyone hates me. Like, I mean, yeah, all right. Like, it can be sad sometimes, but gay people live happy, fruitful lives. We're allowed to grow up and be happy together and be successful. And I want to see that. I want young people. I want the little kids watching this show to say, if I love girls, I won't be miserable. I can love girls and be happy with myself and who I am and live a good, successful life with friends and family and people that support me. I want them to see that, and they do. And that's good.
Damn right.
Damn right.
Our other nominee is going to be Korra from Legend of Korra. I 100% think Korra is a fantastic character. I loved her literally from the first episode, where she comes on and we see her as a little kid and immediately is mastered 3 out of the 4 elements and is just unabashedly just kicking ass. And like, I just feel so much of who this character is as a, like, for having to live up to somebody that came before them and being that person, and at the same time just like, oh, always having all this power and the world promised to you and expectations on how you're supposed to take care of everything. And at the same time, like, there's a point in the show where they tell her, no, it's fine, we'll take care of it from now on. You rest, relax, and heal up from your horrible injuries that you've suffered right now. And it literally breaks her heart, because it's like, my God, this is my identity. This is who I am. This is exactly everything that I needed to be. I stepped up to the plate to try and do, and now you're telling me, nah, it's all right, don't worry about it. Like, you could see it in her freaking eyes, this woman, like, breaking the hell apart. I don't know, like, that speaks to me, that speaks volumes to me, really. And Korra has a relationship in the beginning of the series. The relationship ends badly, eventually just starts to build up a repertoire with what was at first her romantic competition to eventually become her romantic interest. And I watched throughout season 3 of the show, and I felt like, man, they have such great chemistry together. I really like them, but Nickelodeon's never going to let this happen. They'll never in a million years let these two characters get together. Never in a million years. I get to season 4, and I still feel that way. I still feel like the two have a lot. Like, her love interest, the Sami, is with her throughout all of her time recovering from her wounds, like, to the point where she's in a wheelchair. She can't really walk on her own, and you know, Asami's there taking care of her every step of the way. And I just feel like this character means something, is important. And then at the end of it, that chemistry pays off. It reveals itself to be a relationship, to be something that the two of them can be, to have together. And that was so powerful, because I didn't think that was going to get that out of a kid's show. And I didn't think I was going to feel not only a character that I identified with beforehand, but then have them be something I could relate to even further, meant a lot to me.
And I feel like this is very important, because you had Nickelodeon accept this. You had Nickelodeon, you know, which was very Victorian almost, you know.
Yeah.
Very, you know, you have straight girls and straight boys, and that's about where we're going to put it, you know. And they had this happen, and really I feel like it's kind of spurred an LGBT kind of renaissance flowing into other cartoons.
Yeah, I think we probably wouldn't have a Garnet if there wasn't for a Korra.
Absolutely. And so, like, I feel like, like, that's, like, really where the strength of the character comes in. Not just what Korra did in the show, but really what Korra represents to the whole world. You know, which is, I guess, the point of the competition. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
Korra really is paving the way continuously now for Garnets and what have you.
Yes. So, do we want to know who our finalists are?
I really want to know.
Yeah, what's the matchup?
Okay, so in the pre-2000s bracket, our winner, by a slim margin, is Deadpool.
Hey, that's my boy.
He's my boy, too.
My little man.
Yeah. Well, he's not so little anymore. He grew up.
He's my little man.
He grew up a little bit.
I raised him myself.
From infancy.
From infancy.
Yeah. So, again, fantastic character that, like, again, like, has come into very much a huge surge of popularity recently over multiple platforms.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And just, again, fantastic character. Our post-2000s bracket, the winner by not so slim a margin this time, is Korra from Legend of Korra.
Hey!
I'm so happy about this, as this character is one I'm so fond of, and I kept batting for in Women of Fiction, and have her like come out like close to the top here just has meant the world to me. Again, both of these characters, fantastic characters, wonderful representations of the communities they come from, and I am all about hearing and seeing your votes in MV Pride to see who will be the winner between these two. This is an interesting fight because we have Deadpool, who honestly could probably recover from anything Korra could throw at him. Let's be perfectly real here. I mean, he has an incredible healing
factor.
I mean,
if this is a physical fight, you know, Korra is pretty... She's definitely a good combat person. Like, if I had to pick on this list one of the best combatants, I think Korra might go at the top as, you know, master of all four elements, ability to spit fire. Like, she's definitely pretty high on the list. However, Deadpool is, like, literally immortal, so, like, I don't think he's beatable. However, the thing is, like, Deadpool is kind of a weird guy, and could she physically beat him? Probably not, just because he's kind of unbeatable by virtue. However, if she was witty enough, she might be able to just convince him to go out for chimichangas instead and just let her win because he doesn't care that much. So really, you're gonna have to get creative. If you can convince him that he doesn't care and that you'll buy him a burrito if he leaves, he might just leave and take the burrito.
But also, we gotta think about, like, you know, who's really advancing the spectrum here the best? Like, do we think, you know, Korra with her trailblazing kind of created this renaissance of everything over here? Or, you know, Deadpool with his hypersexual, pansexual, I like everybody and I hate everybody and I'm everything and nothing all at the same time?
On the list of pansexual characters on the Marvel Wikipedia, he is 6 of, I think, 8 of them. Yeah, so, you know, there's a sort of difference here trailblazing-wise, so... Deadpool may be a character with more platforms, maybe more fans. Korra's a smaller show, weirdly enough to think. Korra's always, I think, had a bit more of an effect on really recent cartoons, but a lot of the recent Deadpool content we've been getting has been by writers who are very aggressively like, no more homophobic jokes in Deadpool comics. We're going to do this for real. And I've seen a lot of that lately. I mean, even with Ryan Reynolds very much pushing that he wants to see Deadpool get a boyfriend in the next movie, it's possible that Deadpool will be seeing a much bigger change in the future. Man. I don't know. We're not there yet.
At the end of the day, we have to also realize that Korra's story is over. We'll probably not return back to Korra much more besides, like, maybe some comic books we're lucky. But Deadpool is consistently has more story to tell, has more potential to offer us.
It's true.
So, I mean, that's a big factor. Let's be honest here. Like, just a character that may have started as a joke, but continued to be like, no, I'm going to take it back. Like, that means a lot, as opposed to the character that's, again, story is over.
Seeing this character evolve is powerful in and of itself.
Yep. So, again, let us know. Let us know in the comments. Let us know with your vote. Tell us why you think either Deadpool or Korra should come away as the winner of MV Pride. Link will be there right underneath our podcast. Just go ahead. Let your voice be heard.
And speaking of your voice, if you have anything you want to say, we are still publishing articles from our fans and listeners about your favorite characters that embody pride for you. And if you want to help support those people that have written us these wonderful articles, please head over to our Patreon. Leave us a couple of dollars because we are sending money from our Patreon directly to our guest authors who have written us these wonderful, wonderful articles that we appreciate so much.
Thank you very much for listening. Good night, everybody!
Hi, everybody. This is Frank from Nonproductive, and you may be wondering, how come you haven't heard from me a lot recently in the last few rounds of the podcast, for example? Well, long story short is I've been incredibly busy and working on a lot of different things for the network, including our giant flea market that's coming up, our live show that comes out once a month on the first Thursday of the month, and a lot of other really cool things. But I have been following the contest and working on it behind the scenes, and I'm here today to bring up a couple of unusual things that may have happened in this round. Careful listeners may remember Al saying something like this.
Our post-2000s bracket, the winner by not so slim a margin this time, is Korra from Legend of Korra.
Hey!
It's interesting that Al pointed out that Korra beat Garnet by a not-so-slim a margin. And the reason for that is pretty simple. In round one of the pre-2000 characters, Tom Collins and Deadpool both got a hell of a lot of votes, but they were pretty near each other, and when we calculated in all the passion pleas from all our fans, it was clear that Deadpool was the winner, but, you know, it was a healthy contest. Korra, on the other hand, destroyed her competition. It left everybody else in the dust. And Al made mention of it. Now, the interesting thing is, there were some irregularities with round two of our competition. Because of a miscalculation in the Computron, our computers ended up giving Korra twice as many votes as she actually received. It has something to do with the fact that Korra was from the Legend of Korra. Her name appears twice in the form, there's a misplaced decimal point, mass hysteria, tabulations were wrong, and things kind of got screwy. Now, what you probably have figured out by now is that I really wouldn't be interrupting the show if there was a miscalculation that gave Korra too many votes, but she still came out in the lead. And you're right. For round two of our most valuable Pride character competition in the post-2000s era, the winner actually is Garnet. Korra did place pretty healthily in the competition, but Garnet definitely moves on to the next round. My lord, there's going to be an asterisk on this. People are going to be debating this for thousands of years to come. This is controversy, travesty, injustice. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? It's Deadpool versus Garnet in the finals. I'm livid and also besides myself with joy and rage. This is absolutely crazy. Only on Non-Productive will someone make such a stupid mistake and then own up on it, yet refuse to re-record the podcast. Did this devastate you? Are you angry that this happened? Well, leave a comment on the post and shout it out to the heavens. Maybe don't spoil the ending. Let people listen to this entire thing before they realize that this was just a mockery of justice. But the good thing is, clearly everybody actually does like Garnet, or else she wouldn't have won round two of her competition. And everybody likes Deadpool for reasons, I guess. Great! So I'm happy. I am really excited about this. Steven Universe is a great show. It's my baby. I raised it. I'm all about it. That's my boy. That's my other natisms. Good night, everybody, for an owlism for you. And also, how about a random non sequitur from Pete? Pope and James are here too. I'm just being everybody today. All right, folks, you just listened through the extra bonus material and the apology at the end of this podcast. You're eager to vote for your favorite MVP, and we're not going to hold you up any longer. To access the form early, go to non-productive.com/secret and type in the secret phrase of the day in all caps, a single word in all caps, fake news. That's right, fake news, all caps, all one word. Shout it into the entry box, fake news, and you can vote for your favorite. Oh, and seriously, support the Patreon if you want to see more of this.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.